Truth. Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, September 29th, 2021, hump day, middle of the weekday, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhan on Friday and more insanity. Boy, it just seems that, you know, every day goes by, the bizarreness of the world just increases. Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about today. It's another busy news day. And so we're going to do as much news as we can until it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in the control room taking care of business, so let's get right on into it here. And let's see, Biden's poll numbers are still heading down. He is dealing with a huge number of crises. He's only been in office for, you know, a little more than 8 months, and he is just stuck in this swamp of crises. The biggest one, of course, is Afghanistan, the handling of the withdrawal, the handling of COVID-19, and it just goes on. And Biden is out there trying to reassure everybody that Americans love his job performance, and he doesn't seem really able to do much of anything than try and polish his own image or pass the blame to somebody else. Now, Biden is still out there talking about how this $3.5 trillion spending package, you know, it's a liberal wish list here, is going to cost $0. And over at Post News 2, they're saying, the president has gone completely crackers, or whatever other description you want to use. He's senile, he's demented, he's insane, he's definitely not functional. He can't be stupid enough to think Americans are not going to understand that $3.5 trillion is going to come out of our pockets one way or the other. And we are hearing that the $3.5 trillion bill may include things like a mileage tax, which I thought, gasoline and tire taxes basically covered that, because the more you drive, the more of those taxes you pay. But now Biden wants a direct mileage tax, and the means by which they would monitor how far your car has driven boggles the mind. More intrusiveness into our lives here. So there's a new report out by James Shirk. He's formerly a labor economist at the Heritage Foundation, and he's looking at that $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, and it's supposed to be about taxes and spending, and it is passing a long list of pro-union demands, and the bill makes it easier for people to give money to organizations to disproportionately help elect Democrats. And as for the unions, the bill would ban all staff meetings to discuss unionizing. Now, if employees in a company are looking at unionizing, it is a normal practice for employers to call an all staff meeting to basically say there may be some drawbacks to unionizing, like a lot of you losing your jobs here. Unions oppose those meetings because it gives employers an opportunity to point out how the union may not really serve their interest, and this bill is going to ban that. So, there's just all kinds of stuff here, and let's see, it's a mess. It is really a mess here. All righty. Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona has reportedly told her Democratic colleagues she will not support any tax hikes or on corporations or wealthy individuals. This could derail the Democratic Party's plan to fund its sprawling safety net and climate package. You know, Sinema wants ordinary people who are already being taxed to the edge of poverty to be taxed just a little bit more, because, after all, poverty is the new normal in the United States. Now, according to the New York Times, Sinema's resistance to tax rate increases that Democrats have proposed to finance the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill has set off a scramble for alternatives, including a carbon tax. They've been pushing that ever since Al Gore and ClimateGate, anything. International corporate tax changes and closing loopholes for businesses that pay through the individual income tax system, meaning private proprietorships here. Now, Democrats cannot afford a single defection in the Senate, and this gives Sinema and other right-wing lawmakers considerable leverage over the reconciliation bill, which is now the centerpiece of President Joe Biden's domestic policy agenda. And on top of opposing tax hikes, Sinema has also said she will not support a package that includes $3.5 trillion in spending over the next decade, a price tag that progressive lawmakers have characterized as a bare minimum. Okay, now then, Democrats are actually at each other's throats. I was talking about this yesterday, where the Democratic Party appears to be factionalizing badly. They lack unity and direction. And Representative Ken Buck of Colorado says it's a beautiful thing to see the Democrats at each other's throats over the anti-Semitism issue troubling the party. Now, Buck did an interview with Fox News on Friday where he expressed his opinions on the Democrats killing the Iron Dome funding deal from the latest ongoing resolution following demands from progressives. And again, it shows the unhealthy extent to which Israel is coloring our political discourse. All right, we mentioned this story briefly yesterday, but I've got a little bit more detail. 131 federal judges have violated U.S. law and judicial ethics by hearing cases where they had a financial interest. Now, this was an investigation carried out by the Wall Street Journal and found these judges improperly failed to disqualify themselves from 685 court cases since 2010. And the jurists were appointed by nearly every president from Lyndon Johnson to Donald Trump. And about two-thirds of federal district judges disclosed holdings of individual stocks, and nearly one of five who did heard at least one case involving those stocks. Now, alerted to the violations by the Journal, 56 of the judges have directed court clerks to notify parties in 329 lawsuits that they should have recused themselves. That means new judges must be assigned, potentially upending existing rulings. And so this was all about the judges and their families' financial holdings. Can you say corruption percolates through the entire system? I knew you could. Okay, down in Maricopa County, and we're still seeing the American corporate media out there saying, well, Maricopa proved that Biden won. No, they didn't. The hand recount confirmed the official results, but it uncovered 57,000 ballots that appear to be fraudulent. They found a lot of mail-in ballots came from names and addresses where those people had already moved away. Some 80,000 names could not be confirmed as actually existing. And now it turns out that Maricopa County supervisors relegated some of the election processes to a printer who did not provide accurate counts of ballots received by election day or chain of custody details. And of course, we know the U.S. Postal System is heavily involved in this whole process. So let's see. Over 43,000 voter registrations were added during the extra 10 days of registration chaos. The court literally changed the original October 5th deadline to the 23rd, and new registrations, some of them problematic, it can't confirm the people with the Social Security Administration, came in during that time. Over in Georgia, there are 24 criminal Democratic operatives who were caught on video stuffing drop boxes with 19,000 ballots in 3 days. And they're cheating, they're stealing it. And if we let them get away with it, we will never have an honest election that represents the will of the American people in this country ever. Okay, we'll become a one-party state like the former Soviet Union here. A little bit of good news, the Republican National Committee is suing two Vermont cities over their policies of allowing non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. And go back and look at the 19th Amendment. Now, that was the Women's Rights Amendment, the amendment that gave women the right to vote. But it starts out by saying, you know, all legal citizens have a right to vote. There's nothing in there about non-citizens being granted a right to vote. There's nothing in there about illegal immigrants being allowed to vote. It is just not in there. If you are not a citizen and you vote, you are breaking a crime. You're committing a crime. You're breaking the law. But for the illegal immigrants, I mean, they were breaking the law just by stepping over the border, so, you know, a little election fraud probably isn't going to bother them. Now, amazingly enough, around the world, other media are studying the Maricopa County report in detail. They're not buying this story that the recount proved Biden had won. And interestingly enough, in the Sunday Times, which is a very prestigious British newspaper, writer Rob Little basically said it does look like the election was a fraud. Now, he makes it very obvious in this article that he is not a fan of Donald Trump, but he is forthcoming and saying, yeah, there is a problem there. Getting on to January 6th, actually even before that, last year here, we've all heard about this organization called the Oath Keepers. They get a lot of press. I don't know that they've ever actually done much of anything. But somebody hacked their computers and found the membership list for Oath Keepers. And they discovered around 160 official U.S. government and military email addresses in the membership list. It's a manufactured fake group for propaganda purposes by the United States government. All right, getting into COVID now. FDA is warning that the big pharma COVID treatments are causing major problems with blood clots. But the hospitals are using it anyway. And the drug they're using comes with an FDA black box warning. It's also hideously expensive. But that's the whole point. Profits, profits, profits. Now, there is a nurse who has had experience in both Florida and New York hospitals, Erin Olszewski. Say that three times fast. And she is basically out there saying that hydroxychloroquine and zinc are more effective than any of the vaccines out there in terms of preventing infection by COVID. Now, the FDA and the World Health Organization have now already admitted official vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, do not keep you from catching COVID, do not prevent you from passing it on, which sort of undermines the whole rationale for having vaccine passports, in my opinion. They're out there trying to say, well, you know, if you get the vaccine and then you get COVID, the symptoms will be a little less severe. And that is pretty much unsupportable. This is a very subjective view. There's no way to really quantify symptoms, especially in a disease where people can run the gamut from totally asymptomatic and unaware they've got it up to outright dying. So they're basically, this is a CYA. The vaccines are a failure. But they want to go on selling. You know, they spent a lot of time and money and political capital setting up this marketing ploy, and they're not ready to give up making the billions of dollars just yet. Now, Dr. David Martin is out there suggesting that the Echo Health Alliance President Peter Daszak, who's an associate of Fauci, is planning to generate tons of money for big pharma investors because of the COVID-19 vaccines since 2015. It's all about the Benjamins. Now, Echo Health Alliance is the nonprofit group that's been awarded a grant by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, that's run by Dr. Fauci, to study bat coronaviruses. And reports have emerged that Echo Health has also received $39 million from the Pentagon and $123 million overall from other assorted government agencies until last year when things began to be exposed. Now, there's another article down here that is making a very good point. This came on out from Zero Hedge, and it says, what are the CDC's real priorities? Well, we know right now their priority is pushing the vaccines to make the pharmaceutical companies very, very rich. But this protectionism and support of big pharma existed long before COVID came along. And I am talking about the autism epidemic. And throughout the years, the more vaccines children are being given, the more children come down with autism. And back in the year 2000, autism appeared in about 1 out of 150 children. By 2008, it was 1 in 88 children. By 2014, it was 1 in 59 children. In 2016, it was 1 in 54 children. And the most recent report says it's 1 out of every 40 children. Now, this should be a red warning sign. And there is evidence out there that there are some chemicals inside these childhood vaccines which can cause neurological damage and bring about an autistic condition somewhere on the autism spectrum. But the FDA has said, no, it's absolutely not true. Those who are saying there's reason to be cautious about the vaccines are vilified and smeared by the media, which gets a lot of their money from big pharma advertising. And it really is very cold and cynical that the FDA, which ostensibly is supposed to be about protecting our health, is willing to allow so many people, including children, to be damaged in pursuit of the almighty dollar. Okay, over in Ukraine, there was this 19-year-old Ukrainian student. He was a philology student, and he defied his family's religious and philosophical objections to the COVID-19 vaccine. He got it, and he died 7 hours later. He started suffering from a high fever, general malaise. Then he collapsed and had a seizure at 8:15 p.m. With violent convulsions. This reminds me of that video I saw yesterday of a police officer who got vaccinated, went to work, and was caught on the police station's surveillance video just going into a seizure and convulsions right there at his desk and dying on the spot. So, yeah, definitely there is a problem and reason for caution. Okay. Over in San Diego, the San Diego Unified School Board voted unanimously yesterday to require eligible students and staff to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Meanwhile, United Airlines is getting ready to fire 593 workers for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. Didn't they used to call themselves the Friendly Skies? Or no, that was another airline. Alrighty, we gotta take a break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few minutes.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
Welcome back to our show here, and this is the part of the program where I get down on my knees, and you all laugh when I try and get back up off my knees, and remind you all that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your ongoing support to keep speaking truth to power during these very corrupt and dark times that we are currently living in. So once again, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now remember, if you mail in a donation of $100 or more, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt. So include your return address, and if it's the t-shirt you want, we need your t-shirt size. The network thanks you. All right, we're talking about COVID here. And interestingly enough, story coming on out of Zero Hedge, Navy SEALs are now being told that they cannot be deployed if they don't get a COVID-19 vaccine. And They can't, even if they're granted a religious or medical exemption, if they don't get the vaccine, they will get COVID-19. Now, the SEALs are basically sent into places to kill people and blow things up. But heaven forbid if we carry COVID-19 into those areas, and the Navy SEALs themselves are facing being blown up and killed. They're probably not really worrying about COVID-19 during that particular time. So it strikes me as just kind of a little bit, it's silly. It's downright silly. Over in New York, they are dealing with a major staff reduction. There are a lot of healthcare workers who have quit rather than getting the vaccine. A lot more healthcare workers are being fired rather than get the vaccine. And so the New York hospitals are facing a staff shortage, along with the police departments from the NYPD to the LAPD. It's happening all over the country here. And so the governor of New York has declared a state emergency, and she is going to use the National Guard to do the work in these healthcare facilities. And I'm sure these National Guard are good people and probably very accurate marksmen. I don't know how well they are trained in medical procedure in hospitals. I'm not sure this is a really good idea. Up in Canada, the tyranny is escalating. The Canadian Medical Association is calling for total lockdowns in Alberta and Saskatchewan. And both provinces are setting hospitalization records for COVID-19. ICUs are reportedly running slim. But then we have seen a lot of cases where we're told the hospitals are overflowing with COVID patients. The ICUs are jammed up. And then whistleblowers in those very hospitals and ICUs come on out and say, no, it's just not happening here. A little bit of good news from down under. We have been reporting on Australia's draconian crackdown on mask resistors, vaccine resistors. And we're now finding out the Australian Police Commissioner has stated he's going to refuse to enforce the vaccine passport mandate. He says, you know, the role of police is fighting crime, and his officers are not going to be walking through restaurants, cafes, and pubs checking if people have had both of their shots. So good for that. We're hearing the same thing here in the United States, where sheriffs all over the country are saying they will not enforce Biden's COVID vaccine mandate. So it's the pressure is building in the other way. YouTube is now banning all anti-vaccine content. They deleted the channels of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and several others claiming they are harmful because they are anti-vaccine. And the policy goes into effect today. And according to CNN, YouTube is removing all videos that question the safety and efficacy of any vaccines, not just COVID. It's a complete crackdown. You are not allowed to know that there are doctors and people out there who doubt the safety of the vaccines. You're not allowed to know all the people who are being hurt by the vaccines. You will just go get your shot, and like the good little sheep you are, and help make the pharmaceutical corporations richer so that they can donate more generously to the politicians' election campaign. YouTube has also censored two German language RT channels as part of an ongoing aggression against the outlet. And this was done with approval from Berlin. And more about this when we come back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas, yeah.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about this story about how YouTube has now shut down two German-language Russia Today channels, supposedly because they were carrying medical misinformation in four videos. Now, the Russian Foreign Ministry is denouncing this as an act of aggression, and Russia is now threatening to block YouTube entirely in Russia in retaliation. So, I mean, there are alternatives to YouTube, like BitChute is a good one. That's the one I tend to call home these days here. Out in Clark County, Nevada, they have declared that reporting the facts about COVID and the vaccines is now a public health crisis because it's obvious disinformation. Because anything that does not line up with the official story, you know, just has to be disinformation. You know, a bunch of conspiracy theorist, wacko, tinfoil hat wearing kooks out there here. Meanwhile, over at the New York Times, they have a writer named Apoorva Mandavilli was caught lying about a surge in COVID-19 cases at schools in order to scare more people into getting vaccinated. Now, Amanda Vili's piece contained many of the usual talking points about how the need for people to get injected is urgent because children now account for more than 1 in 5 new cases. And the problem is that Mondavelli pulled this figure right out of her back end, to put it politely. There is no evidence to suggest that children are getting sick from the so-called Delta variant, or that the Delta variant even exists for that matter. And I would remind everybody about that lawsuit that happened up in Canada, where this man was being fined for noncompliance with COVID-19 restrictions, and he went to court and he said, prove to me that COVID-19 actually exists. And the government admitted they couldn't, and he won his case. And I think this was in Alberta, and they started relaxing their COVID restrictions after that point. In other parts of Canada, Canada is now counting everyone who stays home from school or work for any illness as a COVID-19 active case. Now, that's cooking the books. I mean, they're cooking the books so much, they're going to be really, really tender and juicy by the time they're done. The Centers for Disease Control is now allowing hospitals to classify dead vaccinated people as unvaccinated. And this gets back to that 14-day rule. If you have the vaccine and you die in less than 14 days afterwards, you are considered technically unvaccinated, and you are listed that way to make the numbers look good. All right. Now, there is a recently released CDC data set, and it basically is showing how many people are really dying and from what causes. And in the case of children, it's showing that children are much more likely to die from other causes than COVID-19. The most common cause of childhood deaths are traffic accidents at 17%, suicide, 13%, there's a tragedy, homicide, 11%, cancer, 10%, birth defects, 5%, drowning, 4%, heart disease, 3%, drug or alcohol overdose, 2.8%, influenza and pneumonia, 1.79%, chronic lung disease, 1.41%, and COVID-19 comes in last at 1.38%. So those are the facts. Deal with it. All right. Now, House Intelligence Committee Republicans are blaming the Biden administration's top intelligence office for trying to stonewall congressional oversight from learning about outside doctors and scientists whom U.S. spy agencies relied on to establish a report supposedly assessing the origins of COVID-19 and, in fact, coming to absolutely no useful conclusions. Now, Devin Nunes, the ranking member on the panel, was joined by 9 fellow GOP members who announced they had no confidence in the assessment of the origin because the Office of the Director of National Intelligence Personnel who briefed them declined to identify which scientists were consulted throughout the probe, which did not provide a definitive conclusion on whether the virus was transmitted to humans naturally or through a lab leak in China. So the cover-ups are continuing there. Major protests in New York against the vaccine. Tens of thousands of people were on the streets. Corporate media did not even mention it. If you watch ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, PBS, NPR, not a word. And New York governess Kathy Hochul is being ridiculed a little bit for describing the vaccine as a gift from God. And, you know, people who aren't vaccinated aren't listening to God. And, of course, she's the one who signed an executive order giving herself the authority to call up the National Guard to assist in the hospitals. Okay. So, getting on to international news and getting back to Afghanistan, which is definitely one of Biden's worst mess-ups, Almost said a bad word there here. The Biden administration has reportedly blocked a charter flight from Afghanistan carrying more than 100 American citizens and green card holders from landing in the United States. Now, there was a volunteer group managing the flight. They are accusing the Department of Homeland Security of refusing to give clearance for the charter flight to land in the United States. And the flight is carrying dozens of people who've been trapped in Afghanistan for weeks since the botched U.S. military withdrawal. And flight has been stuck on the ground for at least 14 hours, awaiting clearance from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The flight is carrying 117 people. Well, here is a solution. Have everybody on that plane renounce their citizenship and announce they're citizens of Haiti, and Customs and Border Protection will just wave them right on in, won't they? All right. So there's a solution right there here. Let's see, another story about the same thing going on here. There was a charity, the Nazarene Fund, and Glenn Beck is involved in that, and it was interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and Beck had managed to charter planes to airlift 5,100 Christians out of Afghanistan and into neighboring nations. But U.S. officials intervened and prevented the escape of 500 Christians, mostly women and children, who were ordered outside the airport's protection zone. What are these people thinking? Like I said, renounce your current citizenship, claim to be Haitian, and you will get on in. Now, Biden would like to go on making you think that Afghanistan was a good war, and we just decided to end it, although there's already talk about going back on in. Big, huge mistake there. General Milley openly admitted, we lost the Afghanistan war, and a top Republican says Biden is delusional for the withdrawal fiasco that happened. And delusional is a good word. That's a very, very good word here. Milley went on to say that the Afghanistan withdrawal was a logistical success, but a strategic failure. Now, I don't know. That's stretching it just a little bit. If it had been a logistical success, we would have not left $85 billion worth of modern weapons in the hands of the Taliban. And as you know, there's a bit of a disagreement between General Milley and other top military officials and Joe Biden, where the military officials are saying Biden was warned that the Taliban was making very rapid gains in Afghanistan, and it was time to basically plan to get out ahead of time. Biden is saying, no, nobody warned him of the chaos. Nobody warned him about the Taliban. And, is he lying? Or, according to station gossip, has his memory simply failed? Entirely plausible. Entirely plausible. All righty. There was a Canadian warplane that intercepted a Russian aircraft over the Black Sea. And they want you to kind of be used to these stories about we're intercepting these Russian things, But what would happen if a Russian Sukhoi fighter jet intercepted a Canadian military plane over, for example, the St. Lawrence Seaway or Hudson Bay? Or if a Russian plane intercepted an American plane over the Gulf of Mexico? I mean, the Black Sea is, their territory. It's on the other side of the world, and the United States and their allies are over there acting like they are ultimately in charge, which Afghanistan has put seriously in doubt. Over in Taiwan, their defense minister is out there saying it's time for Taiwan to acquire or build long-range missiles in order to defend itself against China. And they want to be able to fight back. Meanwhile, North Korea announced it has successfully tested a new hypersonic missile, which they imply is nuclear capable. Now, the missile test happened early Tuesday. It was North Korea's third round of launches this month and took place shortly before North Korea's UN envoy accused the United States of hostility and demanded the Biden administration permanently end joint military exercises with South Korea off of their coastline and demanded the end to deployment of strategic, meaning big bombers, assets in the region. Getting into the economic news now, Treasury Secretary Yellen stating the obvious, says Congress has 3 weeks left before the United States starts to default on all of its debt. And they're getting ready for a shutdown. The military will be working without pay, in theory. And Yellen is saying the Treasury is likely to exhaust its, quote, extraordinary measures, end quote, if Congress has not acted to raise or suspend the debt limit by October 18th. And she'll get it. You know, there's a lot of political grandstanding on both sides of the issue. But yeah, they're going to wind up raising or eliminating the debt ceiling because they really don't have anything else they can do. Over at Goldman Sachs, I mean, there's this big scandal that is rocking Wall Street. And like the anti-vaccine protests in New York, it's not getting a lot of coverage in the corporate media. This is starting to look like the Federal Reserve and a lot of the insiders on Wall Street were engaged in massive insider trading. And Goldman Sachs is refusing to say if it was placing trades for the president of the Dallas Federal Reserve, Kaplan, and materially false statements were released by the board on Kaplan's relationship with Goldman Sachs. And so, yeah, a lot of dirty dealing there. The money junkies are in charge here. Now, the president of the Federal Reserve of Dallas, Kaplan, and the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston are both now stepping down after the recent reports of potentially unethical investments during 2020. And so, yeah, there's a real mess over there. We're all seeing escalating fuel prices. And according to this article out of oilprice.com, OPEC will be unwilling and maybe unable to stop the rising oil prices. Now, oil prices have had an extensive bull run this year. They're talking that it's going to settle around $90 per barrel. And that, of course, is going to affect all of us. We're already hearing where trucking companies and truck drivers can't get the fuel to deliver goods to our stores. And I really do think that if Biden really does have more than a few marbles in that skull of his, that he would consider opening up the National Fuel Reserve to keep the supply chains running smoothly. Because the problem is not a lack of availability of certain products, but they're sitting in those container ships off the ports. And they're sitting in warehouses at those ports. And they're not able to find the trucks and truck drivers to get them moving into the stores here. We're starting to see a lot of empty shelves around here, and that is a big, big shock. Over in China, the government is now blocking all of the Chinese domestic airlines from doing any business with Boeing. They're not allowed to buy Boeing-made aircraft. And this, to me, looks like a little bit of payback for sinking that Australian submarine deal. And frankly, I don't blame them here. All righty. We've seen this idea before. The Democrats want to mint a $1 trillion platinum coin to avoid the debt crisis. Now, this was an idea that they tried quite a few years ago. The idea was to mint a single $1 trillion coin made of platinum. It wouldn't be $1 trillion worth of platinum. It was just symbolic, and then they would deposit it at the Federal Reserve. This is basically an accounting trick that would retire $1 trillion in government debt and allow them to go on borrowing and spending. A lot of people still talking about this idea that the banks are going to have to report all transactions over $600 to the Internal Revenue Service. And Wyoming Republican Senator Cynthia Lummis basically tore into Janet Yellen, who is supporting the Biden proposal to require banks to hand over all transaction data over $600 on individual bank accounts. And Lummis basically said, Joe, do you distrust Americans so much that you need to know when they buy a couch? And I'm firmly in agreement. This is a totally unjustifiable intrusion into our private affairs. It's a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment. They don't have probable cause to surveil the finances of all American citizens at the same time. Okay, we got to take a break. And by the way, what about all those billionaires not, you know, paying almost no tax? We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Wall Street wizards on the lam from a mental institution claim private retirement funds, yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash.
Will Congress pay the piper? Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economic news, and I mentioned before the congestion of container ships in Los Angeles, Long Beach, New York, all over the place here. And the Port of Los Angeles is now demanding more federal funding to try and deal with the cargo backlog. And so far, the government has invested about $11 billion in the Eastern Gulf Coast compared to just $1 billion on the West Coast, according to the head of the Port of Angeles, Gene Soroka. And Soroka said truck capacity has also slowed down the port, with 50% of registered truck drivers calling to the port at least once a week, and 30% of truck appointments going unused every single day. The truckers can't find the fuel, or the trucking companies can't find drivers. The whole system is breaking down, and all Biden can think about doing is, oh, let's keep the borders open, and, you know, the Americans love me and love my policies here. Over in Washington, D.C., speaking of his residency, there is a tent city for the homeless, and it is really raising a stink because the company that is supposed to empty the porta potties has not been paid by Democratic officials. And so the human waste is just piling up, and it is quite odoriferous. Getting on to immigration, down in Texas, the Biden administration lost their appeal to preserve the Obama-era deferred action for childhood arrivals. And the Biden administration basically announced they're just going to create a new rule to circumvent the legal ruling. You know, who cares what the people think? Who cares what the courts think? You know, his supreme leader Biden wants to have his way, and we'll just change the rules if the rules don't work for us here. All righty. Biden is now threatening to terminate a major portion of the Border Patrol agents if they are not vaccinated. And Biden clearly wants that border kept open. And, you know, this is kind of hypocrisy because they're admitting that one out of every five of those illegal immigrants coming across the border are carrying serious illness. If you see them on video, they're coughing and hacking and they're having a really hard time. They don't get COVID shots. They don't get COVID tests. They're just released into the country. And for a government that is insisting we all mask up and take our shots and socially distance, talk about a double standard. And again, you know, let's renounce our current citizenship, claim we're Haitians, and we're not going to have to take the vaccines, I guess, here. Florida is suing the Biden administration, saying the catch and release system violates federal law and it is harming the Sunshine State. And I hope they win that one. Meanwhile, Jen Psaki is out there saying, we don't have open borders. Really, there's no crisis. We don't have open borders. All right, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phones, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.